It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Wednesday, 5:01 here on Fan Run Radio. And time for the Top 5 at 5. It's brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Here's Tucker Harlan.
Thank you, Russell. At number one, with its win over Queens last night, Tennessee has eclipsed 40 wins in a season for the fifth time in Tony Vitello's tenure. You have to go back to Rod Delmonico's 2005 season to find a 40-win season at Tennessee before Tony Vitello came to Knoxville.
And now we're doing it on the reg. We still got two series to play. That's crazy. We win both these series, right, by the way?
I feel good about it.
I'll say win this series, maybe not sweep.
Fun to sweep Vandy again and go 10 in a row
that
on them.
That would be beautiful.
Oh, man. Their fan would be miserable.
I see what you did there.
The Whistler would lose all his powers.
Oh, I just realized we're going to have to... This might be a watch with the sound off type thing.
He hasn't whistled much against Tennessee lately. Haven't had much to...
Please don't.
Should we ask Tony about the Vandy Whistler, if he has an opinion there?
Yes, that's a good question. It's a fun question.
At number two, Auburn head coach Hugh Freeze had some interesting comments in the development of quarterbacks instead of spending, quote, $1 million in the transfer portal. The options that you presented with are better homegrown, and you can develop Peyton Thorne, Holden Jarriner, Hank Brown, and Walker White, or go spend $1 million on this guy. I just couldn't bring myself to do that because I wanted to put all the pieces together.
Is he trying to act like they're not paying their quarterbacks down there at Auburn? What is it with these coaches? The Right Reverend and Kelly last hour pretending like they're not paying their players.
It's like, they would never.
You were doing this before it was legal, before we called it NIL. What? Are you kidding?
They put screenshots of your text conversations from your phone where you had coaches paying, handing cash to players.
Nobody is believing you. Brian Kelly, did you see him? Oh, we don't.
Beauregard.
We don't believe in buying players.
The hell down. You're NIL Clay. What you don't believe in is your NIL collective is not as good as Spire and some of the other big-time schools. And
I don't even believe that. I think they're just lying. You know, players?
Dude, you're in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You could throw a ping pong ball or a rock, go out your front door and hit a five-star.
We can all agree, though, that Auburn has a much more storied and funny tradition of paying players than LSU, right? LSU might be the better program historically, but Auburn, whether
Auburn's dirty as hell.
The casino chips, the Cam Newton thing, the Eric Ramsey thing back in the day, Pat Dye, like all these guys.
Scallywags, all of them.
Yeah.
Pimps and
Hugh
thieves.
Freeze, GTFO.
At number three, do have one NBA playoff game tonight. The Pacers play the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. Knicks are favored by 4.5, and they lead the series 1-0 heading into game two.
What about this Jalen Brunson guy?
It's pretty good.
He's good at basketball.
Well, he sat under Luka with the Mavs for the beginning of his career, and then he went over there to New York.
I live on the second floor.
Do you know that was in that video was Jackie Jr. from The Sopranos?
What?
He played Luka in the video.
Suzanne Vega?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'd be interesting to see here tonight. The Knicks and, you know, Madison Square Garden is pretty fired up. I'll probably be watching the Braves.
They play some pretty good defense.
I can't get into it, man. I can't do the NBA this year. I don't know what it is.
I do like watching Carl Anthony Towns and
that's the one. I'll give that a try tomorrow, perhaps.
At number four, MLB scoreboard, several games have concluded already. The Angels defeated the Pirates 5-4 in PNC Park. The Blue Jays, 5-3 winner over the Phillies in Philadelphia. The Guardians, 1-10 innings over the Tigers, 5-4 in Cleveland. The Royals defeated the Brewers 6-4 in Kansas City, and the Padres shut out the Cubs in Wrigley 3-0. Right now, the Dodgers are up 3-1 on the Marlins in the top of the ninth with two outs. The Oakland A's lead the Rangers 5-4 in the top of the sixth with one out.
They got a doubleheader today.
I was just about to say that. The other game at 6:37. You got the Orioles playing the Nationals at 6:45. The Astros play the Yankees at 7:05 in Yankee Stadium. You got the Mariners playing the Twins at 7:40. And the Red Sox play the Braves in Atlanta at 7:20. That game on, I guess that's what, NESN, Northeast Sports Network?
Let's go Bravos.
So since Bally's went away, I've had to resort to other ways to watch the Braves. And it has been fun to tune in to, like, I watched some of the Dodgers. It's just interesting to see how some of these other RSNs present their teams. That the Red Sox guys were all been out of shape last night. Oh, man, we left 15 guys on. Can't do that against these guys.
Do they still have that one color guy that's just got, like, a super, super Boston accent?
Yeah, they got a couple of chowder heads on that thing. Going down to Atlanta, Boston. You right there, bud?
Yeah, I was trying to.
Well, the Yankees and Astros are playing.
The Yankees absolutely dusted the Astros. No, I was going to say, did you guys hear it, that team that owns the Oakland Athletics or whatever they're calling them right now, they're having all kinds of problems with.
Oh, it's a disaster. It's a disaster. They're going to play two seasons in a minor league ballpark. The city of Las Vegas can't even get their thing together. And meanwhile, they're playing in the most decrepit facility in modern sports. You got raccoons running around the walls and stuff out there in the Oakland Coliseum. It's an outrage.
And finally, at number five, a young Indonesian man recently received the shock of his life after discovering his newly wedded wife is actually a man.
Oh!
The two met online and hit it off, later deciding to meet in person. The man admitted his wife had some quirks, but never got the thought that she was actually a man. The woman constantly hit her face.
She had a wiener.
She hit her face all the time, and she said her mother had died and her father had been out of the picture for quite some time, but authorities recently got in touch with the father, who admitted the wife was a man.
She's a man, baby.
So he didn't find out in bed.
12 days in is
somebody found out. His father-in-law told him, say, like, by the way, your wife ain't a woman, bro.
She's packing heat. What do you think about that, Houston?
I don't.
What are your
that struck a nerve with him after being recently married.
I mean, what did he do?
I guess he got a divorce, Houston. You, buddy,
make the best of it.
Like,
huh?
So, no. Some, yes, and good for you. Me, no. There would not be a make the best of it scenario. Like, I'm just curious. Like, so if he asked, if they file for divorce,
what if they were good
can he be like, hey, man, like, I realize that she's supposed to get half my stuff, but
she's not a sheep.
Right. So could you imagine?
Be a big lawsuit, I would imagine.
I would think so. If you never brought that information forward.
I mean, I realize some cultures are different in the way they do things. Me, I've only been married once. So far, so good. But I just feel like a wife is like a car. You got to take it for a test drive, don't you?
You
get a.
That was like my question. Like, did they not?
It's like buying a car online. It's not Wifevana, where they deliver it to your house and
you're stuck with it.
You jump in bed and whoa, what's this? That's not supposed to be there.
That'd be a bad day.
People have gotten killed in situations like this.
I know.
Wasn't it that guy at Virginia Tech? Like, he was met that girl on dating app or something, went over to her house, and...
Oh, yeah.
He was a she. Said, take a walk on the wild side. You ever hear that song, Tucker?
Lou Reed?
Oh!
Never cease to be impressed.
Good tune. A lot of good songs about cross-dressing.
Lola.
Lola. Take a walk on the wild side.
L-O-L-A.
That's really the only two.
I think there's some more.
There's other good cross-dressing songs.
Stones had that whole album cover. Some Girls. Some Girls where they were all in drag.
Rebel Rebel. David Bowie. Not sure if she's a boy or a girl. Hey, babe, let's go out tonight.
I'm today years old figuring that. You just told me something that I didn't know about that song.
What?
Rebel Rebel. I never caught that.
I don't know if that's all that song's about, but. All right. Tucker's always, all these top five at five kicker stories always begin with
something dark.
There's something happening in Indonesia. A man in Myanmar found out the hard way that we go to Bangladesh for today's final story. He's where
like Bob the sports guy. I just like summer stock.
Dude looks like a lady.
Huh?
Good
yeah.
Tranny song.
Yeah. Well, that's not it. That's not actually about cross-dressing, though, is it? I think we've had this discussion on
what
air. That's about Vince Neil, right?
Yes.
Is that what it was? A diss song? It was just a diss song.
Looks like a lady.
What they did, man. I've been watching a lot of music documentaries lately, and I can't remember what I was watching, but it was showing pictures of them, like their Sunset Strip days before they got famous. Like, you're cross-dressing. They're just openly. They had chicks all over them. It's the craziest thing ever.
There's a long history of rock and rollers being slightly androgynous. Is that the word?
Yeah, I mean, David Bowie, I'd fit him with this old Ziggy Stardust.
Is that Killer Queen? Isn't that song kind of about something like that?
Maybe. I didn't think so, but it could
no?
be.
I could be wrong.
You ever thought about shaving your eyebrows like that?
All right, then. Thank you, Tucker. That is the Top 5 at 5. It's brought to you by our friends over at Knoxville Smiles. It's where I go for all my dental work. Had an appointment there 2 days ago. Went great. In and out, half an hour. Standard tooth cleaning. They do it all over there, whether you need the regular dental checkup like I had or you got a problem. They can solve that, too. And they do it all right there, man. It's not like back in the day where you got to go to your dentist and he says, oh, yeah, you've got this thing. Go see this guy. No, they do it all right there in their state-of-the-art West Knoxville facility. You can take an online tour at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Be sure to tell them Fan Run Radio sent you. All right, so we got Vitello coming on here in about 5 minutes. Very exciting.
Yep.
Talk some Tennessee baseball with our head coach, and we got a good list of questions here. Which I was worried about. Like,
you feel pretty good about it now?
Yeah, we got here, I only had like three or four questions. I mean, what do you ask again? He's like, he wins all the time. So, coach.
I mean, there's certain questions he's just not going to answer that you can. You know, the obvious ones. How far do you think we'll go? No offense, JB.
Well, Joshy boy, if we don't go all the way, they should fire me. That's what I think. We get an A.J. Russell update, I suppose.
Yeah, I see what we can pull out of him about that.
And then just, you know.
SEMO.
This rivalry with Vanderbilt. It'd be 7 times in a row. I mean, it's hard to believe. We just sort of own these guys right now. You know Corbin's mad about that. He hates that.
He hates us.
Is this his favorite? I wonder if he'd tell us whether or not this is his favorite.
Rivalry?
Yeah, favorite team to beat.
I think if you phrase it like, what's your favorite rivalry, he might say, oh, yeah, I love this one. Your favorite team to beat. He doesn't want to give any bulletin board material. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't care. You think Tony cares about that?
I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me either way. I mean, he usually says the right thing.
Well, let's break it on down and we'll ask him. You're listening to The Drive, Fan Run Radio, Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Hey, we'll be out at First Bank, Emory Road. Tomorrow is your first of two chances to come out and see us on the north side of town this week. We'll be at Volunteer Auto Group on Friday. Come on out, see us. Get free tickets to Fan Run Radio Night at Smoky Stadium, which will be 3 weeks from tomorrow on the 30th. Really looking forward to that. Come on out, see us tomorrow. First Bank on Emory Road in Powell, and we will get you set up with free tickets to Fan Run Radio Night at Smoky Stadium. Tony Vitello, head baseball coach at the University of Tennessee, our guest when we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio, Russell Smith, Houston Crescent Bear, back with you. Tucker Harlan cruising with us as well. Wednesday afternoon edition of the show, and pleased to be joined now by the head coach of your number one ranked Tennessee Volunteers, Tony Vitello, joining us this afternoon on the show. What's up, coach?
Not much. Pleased to be joining. And number one in some polls. I think there's like 17 of them these days. So we'll see if we can be number one on Friday night.
Yeah, man. I was going to ask, you know, baseball guys are obviously superstitious. Whatever the stat is, the number one overall seed hasn't won the NCAA tournament since like the Clinton administration or whatever. Do you guys, I know you're not the number one seed yet, but do you embrace that number one ranking? Do you talk about it at all? Is it something you'd rather not have? How do you approach that?
Yeah, I mean, it came up organically in a discussion last night after the game, because we were talking about various topics, but no, I think you still have some guys that either grew up or were cheering for our team a couple years ago or were on our team. And so they understand the value of, you know, wins and losses. There's pros and cons to everything. But obviously what you want is you want to be in the hunt for SEC championship if you can. But if not, you want to be in the top four and you want to host. And if you can't host, you'd like it to be a top eight. And there's all these different brackets of things. But the bottom line is if you're blessed to be in our league, that means you're prepared for the postseason. And you get as good of an opportunity as anyone to be in the postseason. And then once you are, that could end up being a pretty fun combination of being, A, invited to the party, but also being be prepared for the party.
You mentioned the postgame talk with the team last night. Another close one these midweek games. What is your mind state as you go into the seventh inning trailing against Queens University last night? Are you mad? Are you in desperation mode? I just want to win this game. Are you confident? What is going through your mind in that seventh inning?
Yeah, I think the week prior when we struggled against Lipscomb, I think there was frustration because some of our guys didn't throw the ball as well as they were capable of. And then also our at-bats just weren't they weren't the team at-bats that we've kind of had all year where it's just do what we got to do to help the team win. I think sometimes you can have you may not mean to, but you can have various goals when you get up to the plate or when you're playing the game. And the only goal needs to be to win. And so I think our job as a coaching staff is to make sure our guys' mindset is not on Florida or Vanderbilt or how did we give up two runs on no hits or any of those things. Just the here and now is we need to figure out a way to win this game. And in that case, we needed a leadoff base runner on, and Dalton Bargo, right on cue, did what he needed to do to start a big inning.
What about over the weekend? Take me back to Saturday in Gainesville. The game starts off with that, you know, interference play at first base. You pop out of the dugout. You're going off. You're about to go like Hart, crazy on you. Was that Hart or Fleetwood Mac?
It was Hart. No, okay. You nailed it.
All right, thank you.
Great song.
Yeah,
one
good
of their many great songs.
Absolutely. I celebrate their entire catalog. But you catch yourself, coach, right? You're because we're all thinking, oh, my God, Tony's about to get tossed here in the first batter of the game.
Don't do it.
You calm down. Does Tony Vitello 2 years ago get thrown out of that game? Are we seeing some growth there, coach?
Yeah, no offense at all, and I get the question, but if I don't know what I'm trying to accomplish with this life, but I don't like phony or unauthentic, and so I'm guilty of being both those things at times, but my goal is to not be. So it kind of irks me a little bit when I hear when some outsiders think they know what this year's team's about or what our 22 team was about or other things. And the coaching staff included, I'm just me. And so is Frank and so is Josh. And I think I sprinted out of the dugout as fast as I've ever done and was accused by the umpire of, he said, you're going ballistic. You need to calm down. I would argue those guys have a relationship with me more than they did in the past. So I would argue they're the ones that are different. And they gave me more latitude and also brought up the fact we could review the play. But, you know, I wasn't trying to think stay in the game or be more mature or anything like that. It was, I don't agree with that call. And also I have bad memories of that call, you know, a couple of years prior going against us as well. So I wanted to win that game as bad as anybody on the planet. I saw that play pretty dang well. And then I also, you know, brought up some plays that maybe happened the day before too. And that wasn't smart. That'll get you thrown out in a hurry. So if anything, I cut those off. But at least I brought them up.
Oh, I mean, watching it on TV, I was Maynardville mad. I was very, I'd have got thrown out. I mean, easy.
I love it. Gets me fired up.
Yeah, no, but you had to stay in that game. I mean, that's such a big game. That's the rubber match. You know, the series is tied, and I don't know. I mean, who's to say what happens if I mean, because that manager get thrown out in the first inning, that can set a tone one way or the other, right?
Well, the whole play kind of it reversed the tone. You're facing an All-American. Let's be honest. You're facing the best player in the country because he's a two-way guy, and he's incredible at both. And our All-American is going to – it's 1-1. I mean, that's a great moment, and to have that kind of interfere with that moment, in my opinion, was frustrating, and that's all I was – so I went back to the dugout, and again, I don't think you can plan or say I can't do this or I can do this. I just went back to the dugout after that and told Frank I got no chance, and then I showed him two matchups I like out of the bullpen for us, and that was it. And fortunately – nothing was revisited, I guess, between us and the umpires for the most part.
Tony Vitello joining us this afternoon. Coach, you're playing Vandy this week. We don't like them. You guys have beaten them 7 times in a row. They were kind of the gold standard when you first got here. And, you know, talk a little bit about how you've managed to somewhat turn the tide in this rivalry.
Well, I think each weekend is a rivalry. We're the only conference that plays 10 weekends of this mess. And you got kind of a relationship, whether you like it or not, with each program, you know, and a certain rivalry or flavor to it. And this one happens to be in state. But other than that, the similarities kind of stop there. I mean, private, different approach. They've won 2 national championships in recent history. We have not. There's a lot of, you know, differences in there. So for us, it's more about how could we, you know, get, you know, to we're in a place where our players believe we belong in the SEC first off, and then have success in the SEC. And along the way, we've been able to do some things and not been able to do some things. So, you know, you're going to be fortunate to win some games against some opponents and others you're not. That's just the nature of our league.
Have you double checked the bat stickers for this weekend?
No, they've changed that. You know, I mean, I'm just, it sounds arrogant to say it, but that year needs a Netflix special. And one thing that came out of it, me and Blake Burke were talking about this the other day, is one thing that came out of that year's team is like 4 rule changes. So now the stickers are put on differently and the umpires do the bat checking, not administrators from each team. We've got a run rule. We've got a prop rule for home runs now. We've got a lot of things that you could, you know, it's an argument, but you could say is tied to that team.
Sure.
So things have changed, and that is one of them. But, you know, somebody has a bat sticker fall off, and we're just going to go over there to play baseball. That's what we're going to try and do.
Tony Vitello with us this afternoon on the program. Any chance we see A.J. Russell this weekend in Nashville?
You know, there's a possibility. You know, I don't know what the Vegas odds would be, but there's a possibility. And whenever we do integrate them, it's going to be, you know, with a specific plan. So as of right now, we don't have a specific plan where he would be starting one of those games. I can tell you that. And we're not going to require him or ask of him to close or finish a game his first time back. So we'll see. It's reached a point where he is throwing off the mound. So it's more about when's the right time or when is he truly prepared, and also when do we need him? So that's kind of the most honest and easiest answer I can give you.
All right. So you're telling us there's a chance. All right. We can live with that.
Yeah, we've talked about the band Heart and the movie Dumb and Dumber, so we're doing quite well today.
Absolutely. We'll work in some more references here. Coach, we asked you this about halfway through last season. I think it came from LSU at that time. I'll ask you again, what's the best chirp you've heard from an opposing crowd so far this season on the road?
You know, I don't know that I personally have heard one. But Marcus Phillips was absolutely, he received an onslaught of comments. I'm trying to think if I can say any of them on the air, but at Kentucky, I don't really like how these parks like Florida and Kentucky are they're very open and they're big. You know, I like the fact our park is very quaint.
Yeah.
But they've got a walkway that is well behind the outfield fence. But it's along the whole outfield, so they can walk right outside our bullpen or the home bullpen at Kentucky. And I don't know why they decided to pick on Marcus Phillips, but oh boy, did he get it.
Really?
Yeah, and ironically, he got the last out of the series to end the series and was one of his best appearances of the year. And we kind of thought of coaches like maybe that actually – got under his skin in a good way, and he had a little bit of "I'll show you" when he got out there on the mound. You know, it can work a couple different ways. But
yeah, I was going to ask, does that play into your decision? You know, he's getting heckled like that out there. Is there any thought at all when you go out there? You know, Kirby's kind of slowing down. It's getting a little dicey there in the bottom of the ninth. Are you like, you know what? Let's give this dude who hadn't really had many opportunities on this kind of stage a chance to go and shut these guys up.
It was just the way it worked out. Okay. And I mean, you kind of create a pecking order and, you know, some of these games, our guys have thrown well enough. We haven't got to those guys. Our midweek games have been this crazy mix of, you know, Rolaids relief type games like last night or Tums or whatever your brand is, or a blowout where we lose a couple innings where we can use guys. So, it's been frustrating to get him in a rhythm and some other guys to get some opportunities. But in that case, you know, Kirby had done everything he could for us. I mean, everything. So it was on to the next guy. And I think I said to the media already, when I took the ball, I didn't know what the heck to say to the kid. So I said, Kirby, it's on you, buddy. And he and Blake Burke both had some good words for Marcus because, like I said, he threw it about as well as he has.
All right, Coach, one or two more from me, and I believe Bear has a bone he would like to pick with you about the game presentation at Lindsey Nelson. We'll let you run here. We talked about the student section 2 years ago in Lindsey Nelson. Those guys used to be, and it was only like a dozen or so, you know, 20 guys up there against the net, really letting the other team have it. And I've been over there a couple of times this year. I'm missing that element of it. What I feel like the nasty is gone from Lindsey Nelson. Is there anything we can do to get that back by postseason play?
A little bit. I don't know. I don't know, honestly, on postseason play. I think there's been some high-end seats added. The thing I'll say at the beginning of that, though, is that was a very, very unique group. And I have run into that group a couple times, like in Nashville, post-football game, you know, this Labor Day weekend, those guys have not slowed down. It is a rowdy, special group. So I would love for them to come back and maybe throw a group first pitch out or something like that. But you got to have the ingredients, and part of the ingredients is the right people. But, yeah, maybe we need to make some adjustments with the setup as well. Now, We're also playing in a little bit of an unfinished, I don't know if that's the right word, but a little bit of an unfinished product because, you know, there are some plans down the right field line and ultimately behind the right field wall to accommodate students a little bit more.
Well, I took Bear to his first game against LSU a couple of weeks ago, and we get there, and the frat house next door has a band
what were
playing.
They playing? Free, were they
we,
playing
we hear Freebird the entire first inning, Coach. They played the 15-minute version.
Well, it's not a bad song to be listening to, I can tell you that.
Well, it set the tone. All right, Bear, you got something for Coach?
Yeah, the concession stand, Coach. The hot dog was outstanding. Beer line, quite frankly, was a little too long. The pretzels weren't up to par, but all in all, a good experience.
Well, I can promise you, I don't know if I'm mature or not, but I'm the same guy I was a couple of years ago. So if one of these umpires launches me, I'm going right up there to serve you hot dogs. Well, I guess I better get behind the beer. Yeah, we need somebody that's won an award back there. I worked at Lake of the Ozarks one summer, and my buddy won best bartender in a contest, and speed was a big part of that, as it should be.
Dexterity.
You got to sling the drinks fast when people are trying to get your money.
Yeah, those lines get deep, too.
Might increase the nasty also.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yes, it will. And there's an ingredient that involves some nastiness as well. And, you know, I think, too, part of it is last night we had a great crowd, and it was – I wanted to be like, man, these guys aren't – they're not as into it as they usually are. Well, our offense had yet to, I think, even get a hit. So, again, there's a lot of ingredients that got to be mixed together. And, you know, hopefully, you know, come postseason time or really South Carolina – is the next home games. Hopefully that can occur.
Yeah, we'll get try and get it riled up for Carolina.
But in all seriousness, I think the last time Coach had, I don't even know if they had seats in there yet. Last time I had to tell you how long it had been. I'm talking like when they first opened Lindsey Nelson.
It's not very often that we can drag him out of the cave, Coach. It was a special occasion.
To see how you and your guys have built it up over there.
Yeah, it's fun. But again, we're kind of in – you know, a baby step process of what ultimately is a huge step to turn this into a true stadium. And I think it's right now the stage is set for it to maybe be arguably the best one in the country.
All right, Coach, we'll let you get rolling over there. Have fun in Nashville. Don't take it easy on those guys this weekend. We don't like them.
Well, step one is stop at Buc-ee's. Step two is to have a good practice session on Thursday night. And then step three will be to show up and compete on Friday. And I'll tell you what, I don't know what their overall record is. I just know the trend for this Vanderbilt team this particular year, because that's what it's all about. It's this year's group against this year's group. They are excellent at home and almost kind of two different versions of themselves. So we'll get the best version of them, and we need to present the best version of ourselves. The one cool thing, if I can continue to ramble on being over there, is it's very, very nice when you got more orange than whatever their colors are, even though we're in their home city.
Buy up those tickets. One last thing, Coach. So you bus over there. Crossville Buc-ee's, do you pull the whole team just invades the Buc-ee's in Crossville? Is that what's happening here?
That is a first-time effort. I think I drove separate because we had a successful weekend in Lexington. Our stingy manager, Woody, let the buses stop at the Buc-ee's on the way back from Lexington. But this one's kind of already built into the itinerary of how we're going to feed the boys tomorrow. So they'll probably be spending some per diem tomorrow with all the options that are in that place.
Do you have a Buc-ee's go-to? I'm a big pulled – I love their pulled pork sandwiches.
Yeah, you know, I love everything. As you say, you celebrate the whole collection. I was asked that very question because I was recruiting in Georgia, hit it on the way back, and a friend texted, what's your go-to? And I am spur of the moment, what I'm craving. Even every now and then you'll look around and just whatever sounds good. So I mix it up. I'm kind of my own DJ, Buc-ee's DJ.
Oh, man, it's a wonderful place where all your hopes, dreams, and wishes can come true. Coach, we appreciate it. Good luck in Nashville. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Tony Vitello. Big Buc-ee's guy.
Bad news for the back side of the desk over there.
Oh, what do you think about that, Bear? Tucker,
I'll get fully on the Buc-ee's boat now that Coach has said it's good.
Oh, I have no shame. Buc-ee's off the list.
If Coach says it's off the list, it's a
let's
Coach
go. Let's
go get some jerky.
There you go. That's the spirit.
Coach is the coolest guy we know. We'll go down there and
it
get
takes
him some
so
sandwiches.
Little. Just one opinion maker, influencer.
We're going to convince Tucker on Monday. He will become a true Buck Leaver.
Oh.
After this.
Again, it has nothing to do with the fact that I don't like Buckies. I'm just not going to go out of my way for it.
Well, Tucker, stop being a buzzkill, man. Cut his mic off.
It's very Marcus Youngish.
I'll give you the proper menu item. You'll be very pleased.
No, I'm not going to pay.
Stay with us. The drive absolutely stellar appearance by Tony Vitello on the show this afternoon. We will unpack when we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues, wrapping up on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Getting you ready for a little overtime. Head your way next from 6 until 8 on many of these fine Fan Run affiliates. On Braves baseball tonight as well. What are we, 7:20 first pitch?
That sounds
the
right.
ATL?
Seems like they're normally about 7:20.
What time did you say my guys are playing tonight?
They are playing at 7:05. The Yankees are. Braves are at 7:20.
What's happened to the Strohs, dude?
Who cares? Tony Vitello on the show earlier today. Bear, what did you learn?
He hasn't changed a bit. That question you served up to him.
You all fired up.
Yeah, he did. Huh? Wow. Russell's grabbed the third rail here. Feels like the umpires have learned how to, you know, deal with him. And then I guess he thought he had whatever that exchange where he said, I told Frank I had no chance. Here's a couple different things I do with the bullpen.
Here's what
you
thought he was done.
Yeah.
Well, it's weird because – and he said that the umpire told him, is like, dude, you're going crazy right now. Tony, you kind of were. Like you were. That was the hottest he's been this year.
Yeah, because
even close. Yeah.
He hits – like he comes out of the blocks like Usain Bolt, and then he goes into like that Conor McGregor kind of thing he does when he's walking up, like – this dude is like, you see that guy walking towards you angry. He's raging.
He was pretty pissed off. I guess if there's one thing I kick myself about, I meant to ask him about Brad and LaFollette and Curly. I had it in my notes, but I got carried away in the conversation.
Do we really need to hear him actually say, you know, like.
That's a good point.
He's an idiot.
Does Tony actually want to waste his time?
You know,
with such tomfoolery,
and plus, when I can get him going about Buc-ee's,
it's off the list.
I mean,
take it off.
All right, the ceremonial removing of Buc-ee's from the list.
We need music for that too.
These things are piling up.
Make my
up
first
right
trip
now.
To Buc-ee's.
What does that get it down to now? 59.
Would you shut up?
Well played, Tucker.
I haven't gone through there. Very rarely do things come off.
I thought he was very diplomatic in his comments about Vanderbilt.
Very.
Yeah, but he still kind of
wants to see some Vols in there.
What did he say? Whatever colors
whatever
they are.
Colors theirs are.
Yeah.
That was good.
Hunsucker's calling me, quote, old state run Russell. Too scared to bring up Curly and Brad and LaFollette to Tony V.
No, I just basically think it's so inane.
I'm going to vouch for Russell. We talked about some questions. That was on the list. We meant to bring it up. We just got rolling with some.
And then I wanted to bring up my concession stand. Yep, yep.
I really wanted to get to that. That was good because he said the next time he gets thrown out of a game, he's going to go up and have a hot dog with you, Bear.
That'd be pretty cool.
How about that?
I feel like that things could get dangerous quickly. I'm somewhat of an enabler and an instigator. I don't know if you know this about me.
There's Vitello up pounding beers and eating hot dogs with local radio sensation Bear.
Having a time.
I had a bunch of things. I did not ask him about the Vandy Whistler.
Nope, meant to ask him about that. Yep.
I thought it was interesting. Kentucky fans, those toothless, slack-jawed yokels.
Oh, coming after Phillips?
Coming after Marcus Phillips. And then he goes over there and shuts the door on them.
Well, his dad played football at Kentucky, right? fairly certain his dad.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
Didn't his mom play too?
I'm not.
I don't think she played football.
I'm not certain of that.
not football. For Kentucky, Russell.
The thing about the 2022 team and the Vitello rules, how they changed everything.
Oh, that's hilarious.
No more
yeah.
celebrations. They changed Props. The bat sticker. The umpires are why weren't the umpires always inspecting the bats? Why is some Corbin lackey at Vanderbilt testing our bats? That's absurd.
And the run rule. He took credit for the run rule.
I love it.
I mean, some of those are good rules. Like the bat thing is a good rule. The sticker thing. Celebration trying to take some of the fun out of it is, I suppose, debatable. But I love how our team had the reaction to it is still reverberating today. The team we had 2 years ago,
pioneers and groundbreakers. That's how it often is, Russ. We were
Tim
the first.
Corbin.
He doesn't
this
like
guy.
Them.
This freaking guy. I don't have to do it. This freaking guy on Tim Corbin.
If he had been hooked up to a lot today, you really think he doesn't? I think he hates Tim Corbin.
I mean, this freaking guy, Tim Corbin. He wants to come in here. He's won two national championships before we started taking college baseball seriously, and he wants to act like he can tell our guy what to do, how it's gonna. This freaking guy, Tim Corbin. Over there in his batting helmet, looking like he's driving a tank or something in the third base coach's box. This freaking guy, Tim Corbin, so old he's got 1 foot in the grave over there. This freaking guy wants to tell Tony, wants to tell us, check the bat, check the sticker on the bat. When you've got a pitcher out there with a foreign substance on his arm, really? This freaking guy? Tim Corbin. This freaking guy. You got to be kidding me. In their camouflage uniforms. Closest these guys ever got to the armed forces when they were playing with their G.I. Joes growing up. This freaking guy. I mean, if we're sending a bunch of Vandy boys over to the Middle East to fight our wars for us, then we're done. We might as well just go ahead and get our Korans now.
Start speaking Farsi and Arabic.
Yeah, you're right. This freaking guy. Tim Corbin.
Wears a bat and helmet to bed, Houston. He does.
By the way, did you catch what Tony said about Vanderbilt?
Oh, about the private school?
No.
Oh.
He said they're much better at home, almost like two different teams. Remember what Sloss said the other day?
I did catch that.
Oh, wait a minute. I sense where you're going on this.
Are we going to have to go back and check the tape?
I'm just saying. Sloss says one team got busted for cheating. They'd been filming the opposing team's dugouts. Their numbers at home, immaculate. Through the roof, a great hitting team. Numbers on the road, real bad.
You think he's making a comment there?
We have to go back over it like the Zappers.
If he was going to, isn't that the only way he could make it?
He's got a point, Russ.
There's no other way he could say that without getting in trouble.
A bunch of lies.
He just kind of slid it in there.
A bunch of lying, cheating hypocrites is what they are.
They've already been busted for cheating this year. Of course they're cheating.
Check the bat.
I mean, was Honcho's bat hot? Probably.
Oh.
Probably.
You don't know that.
You don't know that.
You don't know.
Just thought it was funny the way you threw that in there.
Two separate teams. All right, well.
The problem is that it's like several teams that's added to the mysteriousness of it. There's several teams that it could be. It's probably because they probably all are. There's a bunch of teams that are doing that.
Let's see if I can. I don't know if I have time. But Vol Creatures did all this. He like broke it all down earlier in the week.
Wasn't that the Legends of Lindsay? Wasn't that the account and the guy?
Yes. Yes, it was.
I don't know who that is. But, I mean, as far as just one person, but that's a major missing piece of the environment.
No, it wasn't him. I'm sorry. You're right. It was Diamond Vols. He did the breakdown of home and away.
Vanderbilt fit the profile?
There were actually like three or four teams that fit the profile. Okay, here we go.
Well, it was Arkansas.
His tweet, Georgia, after looking at the numbers, says Vanderbilt has the closest splits to what Schlossnagel referenced.
Really?
Yes.
Tom, old holier than thou, Tom Corbin over there at Vanderbilt. Huh? Really?
Really? It could have been Vandy? Oh, that would be too good. That would be too good.
I did watch the Give Me Back My video again.
Give me back my son.
They're batting 306 as a team at home and 236 on the road.
Give me back my.
What is Vandy's split there?
306 as the team at home, 236 on the road.
What's ours?
Again, if somebody was using a camera system to film and getting that information to the dugout, that should be like, that should be big news, man. You got to come clean on that as a conference. You got to tell us.
I agree.
What happened?
Tennessee is 340 at home and 304 on the road.
That's the kind of thing that would come to like federal law enforcement's attention at some point, wouldn't it?
Think so. Why?
Integrity of the.
I don't know if the damn FBI's going to get involved in it, but
you start involving. You know, it's attached to a $1 billion industry.
I would hope they
gambling
have
on it.
I mean, I would hope they have more.
Imagine somebody
issues
from the government would. That's a lot of money that you could. Call me crazy.
Now I'm wondering. Now I'm wondering.
That's why I don't bet college sports, man.
Is Corbin the guy?
I don't trust any of these jokers.
Well, I mean, if they were doing that last time, we went in there and opened up a can on them in their house.
Oh, they
slapped them silly.
Well, the good news is that we'll see. We'll see, right? Because they've been so good at home. Now they've been busted. So if it was them and we go in there and just absolutely shell them this weekend, well, no.
I don't know what you can gather anymore as far as tipping pitches, because so many schools, if you're not using the pitch com thing, and I know some schools, when there's nobody on base, they go back to the hand signals, but
they practice with TrackMan. That whole deal that, because remember last year at the beginning of the season, like people were lighting some, were touching up some of our starting. I mean, it was what Burns, Beam, and who was our last year. So, I mean, in a way,
that's what everybody said. Like, oh, they've got them all on TrackMan now for a year or two.
And that's my whole problem with it. I mean, you've got all this other stuff. I mean, do I have to tell you exactly which pitch is getting thrown now? Mm-hmm.
Well, that would help. When you guys got guys throwing in the upper 90s, if you know a fastball is coming, or I mean, that would be a huge assistance.
Tony's going to have a sweeper in the dugout for bugs and cameras. Just, yeah, no, you're good. He's probably got some mafia ties. He knows some guys who could get that stuff.
Whoa.
What?
Really?
What?
We'll talk about that
just
tomorrow.
Just because guy's Italian-American doesn't mean he's mobbed up.
Everybody knows somebody in the mob. He's probably got a good
connection.
I don't
know anybody in the mob.
Yeah, you do. I'm in the mob.
Do it again tomorrow here on Fan Run Radio.